Pick it up nationwide for $6.99.
You're listening to WHCR-DB, HuntertonChamberRadio.com. Brought to you by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
The news is sponsored by the Hunterdon Medical Center. Hunterdon Medical Center was started by families for families. Inside our circle of care, we offer coordinated care for your entire family, led by our outstanding family medicine physicians and specialists. Hunterdon Healthcare, your full circle of care. If you need a physician, call Hunterdon Medical Center's Physician Referral Service at 1-800-511-4HMC or visit us on the web at www.hunterdonhealthcare.org.
USA Radio News.
President Donald Trump fired Secretary of State Rex Tillerson today and said he would nominate CIA Director Mike Pompeo to replace him. Jonathan Swan is a political reporter for Axios. He says this move should surprise no one.
This has been many months in the making. The president has been fed up with Rex Tillerson for some time. Rex Tillerson is basically an irrelevant figure. Trump often doesn't loop him into what he's thinking.
ABC's co-host of The View, Joy Behar, apologized for mocking Vice President Mike Pence's Christian faith today, ending a month-long outcry for many Christians. Behar personally apologized to Mike Pence last week, although Pence thought it would be good for her to apologize to Christians across the nation. Let's take a listen to that apology.
I was raised to respect everyone's religious faith, and I fell short of that. I sincerely apologize for what I said.
This is USA Radio News.
Hey guys, your prostate should be the last thing on your mind, but the fact is, the older you get, the more likely you'll have prostate problems, which can affect your everyday life. That's where Prostate Complete by Real Health comes in. Prostate Complete is the result of 20 years of experience as a leader in men's health. The powerful formula in Prostate Complete supports natural prostate function and reduced urinary urges for a better quality of life. Available at Walmart, visit prostateoneperday.com for special offers. These statements have not been evaluated by the FDA. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease.
Hi, this is Wayne Allyn-Root. I'm a father of four, and I worry every day about this dangerous world. There are so many things that could go wrong. Economic collapse, stock market crash, terrorist attack, war with North Korea. There's a lot to worry about when it comes to protecting your income, assets, and your family's future. Thankfully, my good friends at Tangible Investments are your safe haven from the storm. Call now, and Tangible Investments will send you, absolutely free, a 1 ounce American Silver Eagle, along with your guide for investing in precious metals. To receive your free American Silver Eagle, call toll-free 800-780-9000. That's 800-780-9000.
The Trump administration is withdrawing an Obama-era rule that would have set new standards for how animals should be treated if their meat's to be sold as certified organic. And USA Radio Network's Chris Barnes has all the details.
The rule that was going to take effect in May required participants in the National Organic Program to treat livestock and poultry in such ways as to ensure their well-being. For example, poultry would have to be housed in space big enough for the birds to move freely and stretch their wings. Livestock had to have year-round access to the outdoors. The Department of Agriculture says it's officially withdrawing the final rule, saying it exceeds its statutory authority and could have a negative effect on voluntary participation in the organic program. For USA Radio News, I'm Chris Barnes.
Voters continue to head to the polls in Pennsylvania's 18th congressional district. Now, this is the district that President Trump won by 20 points back in 2016. It is considered a toss-up for this race, though. This is USA Radio News.
An amazing song.
You know, I've never told anybody my story.
From Irwin Brothers Entertainment comes I Can Only Imagine.
When I was 11 years old, life was tough.
On March 16th, discover the untold story behind the beloved song that inspired millions.
My dad was a monster, and I saw God transform him, so I wrote this song for my dad.
I Can Only Imagine. Rated PG. Parental guidance suggested. In theaters March 16th. Go to IcanOnlyImagine.com.
Federal investigators are beginning their probe of a Sunday evening helicopter crash in New York City. USA Radio Network's Chris Barnes has more.
While the pilot survived and got out of the chopper himself, his five passengers died when it plunged into the East River. The five were in special harnesses, which allowed them to photograph the city skyline. Aviation expert Greg Feith tells NBC's Today Show,
"You get disoriented, and because of the fear, the panic, the anxiety, you may not have the presence of mind to be able to operate that seatbelt shoulder harness combination effectively or timely."
The pilot reported engine failure in a Mayday call before the crash, and there's a report a strap from a passenger's bag may have mistakenly got caught on an emergency fuel cutoff button, causing the helicopter to lose power. For USA Radio News, I'm Chris Barnes.
Over the next couple of weeks, you can expect a lot of talk around the workplace that deals with brackets. USA Radio Network's John Clemens explains what's happening.
The scuttlebutt is all about the college basketball playoffs called March Madness. A survey conducted by Office Team found that workers spend an average 25.5 minutes per day on sports-related activities. If you spread that over the duration of the college basketball tournament, it adds up to about 6 hours. Checking game scores or team rankings is the most common distraction. Some companies actually encourage this activity as a way for employees to bond with colleagues. I'm John Clemens.
Best of luck if you are filling out a bracket. For USA Radio News, my name is Tim Berg.
Oh, folks, you know what that music is. That's the time for modern design.
This blue thing is a really new trend. A lot of the designers are trying to introduce blue as a new cabinet color.
This is topical for you guys. This is really topical.
And the mother said, well, I'd like her room to be gray. And the little girl said, Mom, gray is the color of depression.
Hi, this is Rich Scuderi of Modern Design. We're on live every Wednesday from 2 to 3, and you're listening on WHCR-DB.
Are you looking to get your message in front of a qualified audience through all the noise out there today? Consider taking an advertisement out on Hunterdon Chamber Radio, WHCR-DB, the voice of business. Contact the Chamber today at 908-782-7115 or give us an email at info@hunterdon-chamber.org. Are you looking to get your message in front of a qualified audience through all the noise out there today? Consider taking an advertisement out on Hunterdon Chamber Radio, WHCR-DB, the voice of business. Contact the Chamber today at 908-782-7115 or give us an email at info@hunterdon-chamber.org.
You're listening to WHCR-DB, HunterdonChamberRadio.com. Brought to you by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
Greetings, warriors, veterans, and American-loving citizens from sea to shining sea. Welcome to Frontlines of Freedom. I'm Marine Vet Skip Coriel. Ooh-rah! The Frontlines of Freedom team really appreciate you joining us this fine day in America. Here's what we have for you this hour. First, we'll discuss societal violence outside the United States with Ambassador John Bolton. Then we'll discuss the recent mass shootings with John Correa of Active Self-Protection. Then we'll shoot the bull with concealed carry instructor Mike Visser. Of course, we'll conclude with our weekly mailbag, military history, and our Armed American Report. Troops, we welcome your comments and questions. Contact us through frontlinesoffreedom.com. Now it's time to talk societal violence around the world. Ambassador Bolton, welcome to Frontlines of Freedom.
Well, glad to be with you. Thanks for having me.
Ambassador, I know you are much more traveled than I am. I am pretty much a hayseed, born and raised in Michigan, so you've been around the world. You know what other societies are like. I really don't know that much. You know, the far left, when they talk to us about, you know, whenever there's a mass shooting, they'll say, oh, this only happens in the United States. There isn't any gun violence across the rest of the world. What is your take on that?
Well, you know, there's a lot of violence, gun violence, and otherwise. We've seen terrorist attacks across Europe. People have used knives and axes. They've used automobiles. They've used all manner of things, and they've certainly used guns to great and tragic effect. So the notion that somehow the United States is particularly vulnerable to this, I think, is just incorrect. And, you know, I think what has happened in America is that we haven't paid enough attention to the real underlying causes. I mean, there have been guns in America that citizens have had since 1607. When the Jamestown colony was founded. It's only been in recent years that we've had these kinds of violent attacks. And it's something I think all people are concerned about, but trying to identify who are the people who are susceptible to this kind of violence and looking out for that rather than millions of citizens who own guns for hunting, for sport, for self-defense, for whatever reason, who never commit a crime, who are continuously law-abiding, the idea that somehow they're to be restricted because of the actions of some very disturbed people, I just don't think makes any sense. And it hasn't worked around the world in countries with strict gun control laws. As I say, these acts of terrorism have occurred just as they have in the United States.
Yeah, I happen to agree with you on that. I'm a firearms instructor, aside from my other duties here. But, you know, Ambassador Bolton, what do you think has happened? I mean, obviously, things aren't the same. I don't think our society is the same as it was, you know, 50 years ago when I was growing up. So what has changed in America to have this violence just erupt?
Well, I think we're not really focused on the troubled people who give warnings that we don't pay enough attention to. I mean, again, just to look at the most recent tragedy in Parkland, we had unconscionable failure by law enforcement at all levels. There were plenty of warnings about the potential danger here, and they were ignored, whether it's because of incompetence, or which is truly inexcusable, or what I fear is the kind of unwillingness to look the truth in the eye. You know, communities have to do more on that. I don't think there's one rule that fits all from the federal level. I think different parts of the country are going to have different ways of looking at it. But this question of, as the president has said repeatedly, of the mentally ill, and it's tragic for them, that's for sure. But the duty we have to protect the innocent society certainly should encompass not letting people like that get their hands on firearms that they don't fully understand what the implications of what they're doing.
Yeah, there certainly were. There were a lot of people who fell down on that last one and the one before that in Sutherland Springs, Texas, that church massacre. That was an Air Force, U.S. Air Force problem. What do you think about the Fix NICS check bill that's making its way through legislation right now?
Well, I don't myself have any particular difficulty in making sure that the background checks are thorough. And I think in principle, the idea of the background check has been accepted, but not to follow through on it and make sure that it's effective, I think, is a mistake. And I think we can learn a lot from law enforcement about where we're breaking down. I suspect we've got slippages in information between states. As often is the case, we've got a very mobile society. So I'm open to discussions on that. I think that responsible gun owners should have nothing to fear from this. And it's those who, you know, honestly, in some cases, they need society's help. We need to find them before they do something tragic.
Yeah, I agree. This is Marine Vet Skip Poirel on Frontlines of Freedom, and we're discussing societal violence here in America and abroad with Ambassador John Bolton. Ambassador, I was listening to President Trump's, well, I guess his tweets, that's how he communicates with us mostly, on his ideas for fixing that. He tweeted out that we should raise the age for long gun ownership from 18 to 21. Do you think that's a balanced approach to that? Is that fair to the 19, 20-year-olds, or is it just something that we have to do now because of the way our society is?
Well, I think there's a lot of pressure to do something. There always is after one of these tragedies. I mean, we've been through a period, if you look at the last half century, we lowered the voting age to 18 on the theory that if you were old enough to be drafted, you were old enough to vote. We've lowered the drinking age. We lowered, in some cases, the age at which you could purchase firearms. It seems to me there's nothing illogical about saying if you're going to declare somebody to be an adult at 18, they can join the service. They have the right to vote, to pick their government, that 18 is an age where all of these things become possible. If people want to raise it all again to 21, you know, that's worth talking about, too. But I it's one reason I worry about national efforts at national solutions to the problem, because there are different parts of the country where young men and women as well grow up with a tradition of hunting and are no threat to themselves or society. And I think the states and localities really ought to be able to look at their own circumstances and in most cases decide what's appropriate for them.
So it's quite possible that this really shouldn't be decided on the national level, that perhaps we should leave this up to the states. Is that your view?
Well, that's my view on a lot of things. And it's, you know, the temptation to say this has been such a tragedy, it's a national problem, you need a one-size-fits-all rule from Washington. And I just, as a matter of principle, think that that's the national rule should be the last resort on any issue, really, not the first resort.
Yeah, it's always tough to balance, I guess, our basic human rights with safety. How can we balance it so that we can stay free but not be gunned down by crazy people?
Well, I think there's been, over a sustained period of time, a feeling among mental health professionals and others that institutionalizing people with serious problems is not the right way to go. They talk about mainstreaming them into society, and that's become the practice, a very widespread practice across the country. I think it results all too often in tragedy. That's where a lot of the homelessness we see in our major cities comes from. It's not benefiting these people. They're not being mainstreamed. They're still they're on the sidelines, but they're worse off than if they were in mental health institutions. And it's also a way for society to help people address these problems and perhaps overcome them. But when people are reluctant to say anything, and it's allowed to go on year after year, unfortunately, in some cases, I mean, we've seen the failure, I think, of that. You don't want to go too far in the other direction. We don't want to make determinations of mental health a kind of citizen's arrest idea. That's not what I have in mind at all. But I think it's friends and neighbors, communities and schools and churches and businesses. When somebody's troubled, there ought to be a way in a humane fashion to help them try and overcome those troubles.
You know, Ambassador Bolton, I think you're right. I think you've hit the nail on the head here. And we are running out of time here. But Ambassador Bolton, I want to thank you very much for joining us today on Frontlines of Freedom, and certainly thank you for your service to our nation.
Well, thank you very much. I always enjoy being with you, and my best to you and all your listeners.
All right. Thank you, sir. I'm Marine Vet Skip Coriel. Next up, we'll speak with John Correa of Active Self-Protection. Then we'll shoot the bull with concealed carry instructor Mike Visser. You've reported for duty to Frontlines of Freedom. This is Marine Vet Skip Coriel on Frontlines of Freedom. Hit the deck right now and start pumping out some push-ups. But only commissioned officers. You non-coms, just crack open your favorite beverage and take a break, but stay in the area.
This is Colonel Denny Gillum. I want to share about an incredible program available for our veterans across America who are suffering from PTS and traumatic brain injury. It's called After the Impact, and it serves our veterans and NFL football players. You know, it all started at the Eisenhower Center in Ann Arbor, Michigan, and is now expanded to a new facility in Jacksonville, Florida. After the Impact provides real treatment and healing in a transitional residential setting. See more about their facilities for veterans and players at EisenhowerCenter.com.
This is Marine Vet Skip Correa with your Home Defense Tip of the Week. Neighborhood Community Watch was established by the National Sheriff's Association back in 1972 in response to the rising crime of the 1960s. You can form your own Neighborhood Crime Watch by logging into www.nnw.org. Above all else, get to know your neighbors and work together as a community. This is just one more way to keep your family safe. For more useful tips on home and personal defense, visit homedefenseshow.com.
She's such a beautiful little puppy. I mean, we walk around the block and neighbors always say, her hair is so beautiful.
Healthy and shiny and glossy.
DINOVITE.com.
Fatty acids, omega-3s and omega-6s are great for healthy skin and soft, shiny coats.
I would really recommend people starting their puppies on Dynavite before they get into what I would call the misery index. Bad skin, bad ears, bad breath.
Because if they're getting all their vitamins, micronutrients, microbials from the beginning, then you're not going to run into the problems associated with the allergies.
Grass, pollen, dust, dirt, fleas, ticks, you name it,
and the itching and shedding down the road.
Our vitamins and enzymes replace the nutrients cooked out of most commercial dog foods.
Dynavite for life.
This is Ed Lukasevic.
And Cindy Lukasevic.
Inviting you and your pets to Dynavite.
859-428-1000.
DINOVITE.com.
Are you in business, not a member of the chamber? Come to the Hunterdon County Chamber Expo to see what it's all about and meet other business owners. Enjoy the restaurant showcase and enter to win the door prize just for business entries. The Chamber offers special benefits for new memberships during the Expo. So join us at Next Level Arena on Case Boulevard in Flemington on Thursday, November 9th from 2 to 7 p.m. Don't miss it.
You're listening to WHCR-DB, HuntertonChamberRadio.com, brought to you by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
This is Tony Clark, para planner at Patton Heidi & Associates. Americans believe they should be in charge of their own future, how they will live tomorrow. Since 1894, Ameriprise Financial has worked for their clients' futures, helping millions of Americans retire on their terms, when they want, where they want, doing what they want. Today, Patton Heidi & Associates, a financial advisory practice of Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., remains true to the vision of always putting clients first. We are ready to help you put a confident retirement more within reach. Put the strength of a leader in retirement planning to work for you through a personal one-to-one relationship. Patton Heidi & Associates will work with you to develop a plan to help you pursue your retirement goals. Call today at 908-713-6600. Office is located at 1318 Route 31 North, Annandale, New Jersey. Investment advisory products and services are made available through Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., a registered investment advisor, Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., member FINRA and SIPC.
I'm Andy Ross. I'm chairman of the Ambassadors Committee of the Chamber. As members of the Ambassadors Committee, we contact new and renewing members of the Chamber to get their feedback on their Chamber experience and make them feel more at home with the Chamber.
Hunterdon Chamber of Commerce, building business, one business at a time.
I'm Marine Vet Skip Coriel. Thanks for joining us today on Front Lines of Freedom. It's a pleasure to welcome back to the show John Correa of Active Self-Protection. Welcome to Front Lines of Freedom, John.
Thank you so much for having me on again, Skip.
Now, John, as I recall, you rode aircraft carriers in the Navy. Is that correct?
That's correct. I was stationed on the USS John C. Stennis when she was in San Diego.
Is that a big one or a little one?
Well, it's a Nimitz-class boat. She was, when I was on her, she was one of the newest aircraft carriers in the Navy.
Ooh.
I think she still is fairly new because as far as after her, because we haven't commissioned a whole lot of aircraft carriers after her, but, you know, she's got a little age to her now. It's been 15 years.
Yeah. Now, you worked with, what was it, nuclear reactors?
Yeah, I made hot water the hard way in Uncle Sam's Canoe Club.
Yeah, that's one of the things I like about you. You have all these funny sayings. The whole military is like that. They will say just the funniest things, and some of those things you can't repeat, you know, on the air, but they're always funny. So, John, thanks for making me laugh today. I appreciate that. All right. Now, John, there's been a rising number of active shooter events here in America, and I just want to get your for the next couple of minutes, talk about that. What's your take on that?
Well, you know, I think there's some dispute or debate as to whether the incidents are rising or if it's just we're covering more of them because of the advent of social media in the last 10 years. But I do think we have to recognize that in America it is high time for us to get to a place again where we can take care of our neighbors, see who is going to cause challenges. You know, this last one in Parkland showcased some incredible deficiencies in the workings and communications in our law enforcement agencies that need to be fixed, and clearly some things in our mental health system that need to be fixed, and some ways that we as a community, in smaller communities and larger as a nation, that we need to think about our culture and think about how we treat people and how we prevent situations like this.
Well, yeah, I know, John, you're also an ordained minister, and one of the things that you talk about in your active self-protection videos is spiritual fitness. What exactly do you mean by that?
Well, I mean, when I talk about spiritual fitness in the videos, I'm pretty explicit in those. I mean, like you said, I still have my ordination. I pastored a church for 14 and a half years until very recently. And I tell people that on any given day, you want to make sure that you've said everything to your loved ones that you need to say, that you don't leave anything unsaid because you may not get another opportunity, and that you want to have a strong relationship with Jesus because you may not get advance notice of when you're going to need it.
Yeah.
So I stand by that advice. I think that that's an incredibly important thing for all of us. And I think if we all lived that way every day, that we looked out for our fellow man and we took care of each other, for me and for mine as a follower of Jesus, that means loving my neighbor as myself and helping them to succeed in life to the best of my abilities as well, and looking out when things aren't going so well for them too, and making sure that they get the help that they need when they need it. So that kind of community isn't as common as it used to be. And so I feel like when we worship together, when we live together in community, when we actually know each other and know our neighbors, then these kinds of things don't happen as much.
Yeah, I certainly agree. It's like we're lacking in accountability and a love for one another. This is Marine Vet Skip Coriel on Front Lines of Freedom, and we're speaking with John Correa from Active Self-Protection. John, you've been on the show before, but for the benefit of those who may have missed it, tell us about Active Self-Protection. What exactly do you do?
Well, the core of the business is it's a self-defense and firearms training company based out of Phoenix, Arizona. We do travel the country teaching classes, but we are based out of Phoenix. But if you know me, you know me from YouTube. So I have one of the largest self-defense and firearms training companies on YouTube. So, you know, we have a significant presence there. We reach anywhere from 15 to 20 million people a month on YouTube, where people send me real-life surveillance videos of armed robberies, carjackings, stabbings, muggings, home invasions. And I do after-action reports on them. So we walk through the video, we see this is what happened, and we walk back through, and we learn lessons so that we can protect ourselves in the moment if we're targeted for violence.
So it's a really happy job. You see the best of our society.
Yeah, right. We also have a second channel where we talk about all things self-defense and firearms related that aren't narrated videos. It can be emotionally difficult at times to make those videos, but I do think that as somebody who's been in the industry for a while, I've been teaching people for about 8 years now, and there's a lot of misinformation and a lot of mythology. You know, it's what we used to call in the military, the good idea fairy would show up and somebody had an idea of what things should be in defensive encounters. But what we do is we just look at it and say, well, what has really happened and what really happens when things go down? And we give people insights into that every day. And so that's what we try to do, is make people's self-defense more realistic and more evidence-based.
Yeah, I certainly agree with you. I watch probably a half a dozen of your videos every week, and I do it for two reasons. One is for the training aspect, so I can learn what actually does go down in a life or death situation. And the other one is just for like mental fitness, to remind me that, okay, this is real life. This is what evil looks like. And this could actually happen, because the world that we live in, 99.99% of the time, something like this isn't going to happen. So we tend to get lackadaisical. But watching your videos, it heightens my situational awareness. Now, John, you must have viewed some videos, some actual footage of active shooter events. Can you talk about that for a second?
Yes, I have. I don't have any in a school setting, but we do have several on the channel in public settings like malls and big box retailers and stuff like that. Here's the thing. Nobody's coming to save you. You know, there's one of the lessons from, unfortunately, from the Parkland murders is no one is coming to save you. You are your own first responder, and you are the only one who can protect you in the moment. So if you don't have the attitude and the skills and the plan to do so, literally no one else will. And that's regardless of anything else. You can't expect the police to protect you in the moment. First of all, we know that they have no duty to protect an individual. That's Supreme Court decisions there. And or in some cases, an inclination to. So you are your own first responder. Number two, you have to recognize that there is going to be incredible chaos. Once shots start being fired, there's going to be people moving in every direction. Most people have no idea what the sound of gunfire is like in indoor environments and how the sound will echo. So it may sound like there's multiple shooters when there's not, because of the way that sound moves in indoor spaces. Mm-hmm. So having some significant training, if you're a firearms carrier, that you understand how to keep a level head, how to process information and know where the threat is, and then to have the absolute competence as well as the confidence, but more than that, the competence to use your firearm maybe at distances that most self-defense encounters aren't, because self-defense encounters generally are between 3 and 7 yards in interpersonal violence and criminal victimization. In an active murderer situation, though, you could be out to even 40 or 50 yards with whatever you have on you. You're not going to be able to go back to the car and get your rifle. You're not going to be able to go get it out of the safe. Whatever it is that you brought is what you're going to fight with. So you got to be able to make that with that in the moment if you're going to stop it.
John, we're about out of time for this segment, but before we go, can you please tell the listeners where they can contact you and learn all about John Correa and Active Self-Protection?
Well, you can find Active Self-Protection all over social media, Facebook or YouTube/Active Self-Protection. Find us on Instagram at Active Self Protection, Twitter at @get_ASP. You can send us private messages and direct messages on all of those. We answer those as well. In any way I can help you, I would always love to.
All right. Thank you again, John, for taking the time to join us today on Frontlines of Freedom. And thank you for your service in the military and your service in civilian life.
My pleasure.
Coming up next on Frontlines of Freedom, we'll be speaking with firearms instructor Mike Visser. Then we'll open our weekly mailbag. I am Marine Vet Skip Coriel. Now, this is for all the non-coms out there. We don't want to be outdone by the officers, so just start doing bends and thrust and don't stop until we start the next segment. Officers, you can stand at ease, but do stay in the area.
This report is brought to you by Nature's Bounty. Legendary gold medal figure skater Dorothy Hamill is partnering with Nature's Bounty to champion a movement towards better health and to unite people on one thing everyone can agree on, that no matter what, we're always better off healthy. As a professional figure skater, mother, breast cancer survivor, and advocate for children with disabilities, Dorothy is using her unique experience to encourage others to be their best healthy selves.
As a professional athlete, I have always made a strong commitment to my health. In partnering with Nature's Bounty, I want to inspire everyone to take that leap to focus on being healthy now, so we can be prepared for all of life's big celebrations and victories, along with those small everyday moments, which truly make life special.
For additional inspiration, including more tips on how to stay healthy inside and out, visit www.naturesbounty.com and connect with us at facebook.com/naturesbounty.
USA Radio News.
President Donald Trump fired Secretary of State Rex Tillerson today and said he would nominate CIA Director Mike Pompeo to replace him. Jonathan Swan is a political reporter for Axios. He says this move should surprise no one.
This has been many months in the making. The president has been fed up with Rex Tillerson for some time. Rex Tillerson is basically an irrelevant figure. Trump often doesn't loop him into what he's thinking.
ABC's co-host of The View, Joy Behar, apologized for mocking Vice President Mike Pence's Christian faith today, ending a month-long outcry from many Christians. Behar personally apologized to Mike Pence last week, although Pence thought it would be good for her to apologize to Christians across the nation. Let's take a listen to that apology.
I was raised to respect everyone's religious faith, and I fell short of that. I sincerely apologize for what I said.
This is USA Radio News.
Hi, I'm Wayne Allyn Root. I was one of the biggest critics of Obama in the national media. Suddenly, I was under massive IRS attack. So I hired Sam Landis. Sam did an amazing job. We won twice. I didn't owe a penny. Thank you, Sam Landis. Many of you have IRS problems, and you've spent thousands with non-lawyer tax resolution firms. Do yourself a favor. Call Sam Landis for a free consultation. Trust me, Sam Landis is the best. Sam saved my life. Call Sam at 800-WE-HELP-YOU with the letter U. That's toll-free, 800-WE-HELP-YOU with the letter U. 800-WE-HELP-YOU.
Filling an opening at your company means more than just finding an employee. You're looking for a fit, a match. Robert Half understands that. We know you need someone who can do the work, someone who complements your culture. And, of course, you need that someone fast. When it all comes together, it makes for a perfect fit. Satisfaction guaranteed. Robert Half, the matching experts in accounting, finance, IT, legal, marketing, and administrative staffing. Visit roberthalf.com/radio for more information.
I'm Andy Ross. I'm chairman of the Ambassadors Committee of the Chamber. As members of the Ambassadors Committee, we contact new and renewing members of the Chamber to get their feedback on their Chamber experience and make them feel more at home with the Chamber.
Hunter Chamber of Commerce, building business, one business at a time.
You're listening to WHCR-DB, HunterdonChamberRadio.com. Brought to you by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
Welcome back to Frontlines of Freedom. I'm Marine Vet Skip Coriel. We really do welcome your comments and questions. Contact us through frontlinesoffreedom.com or comment on Facebook. A Frontlines of Freedom salute to one of our show's great sponsors, Honor and Remember, and their national sponsor, Spartan Nash. If you know someone who has died while serving our nation, contact Honor and Remember so they can be honored. HonorandRemember.org. Now it's time to shoot the bull with a fellow concealed carry instructor. It's a pleasure to welcome back Mike Visser to Front Lines of Freedom. Welcome aboard, Mike.
Thanks for having me back, Skip.
Well, Mike, why don't we start out with just a little background info on you for people who haven't heard before?
Sure. As far as my current role at Silver Bullet Firearms, I'm the lead instructor of the Firearms Training Division. I've been with the store for a little over 12 years. Been an NRA certified firearms instructor for just about 13 years. I've been shooting for 30 years. I'm not terribly old, so yes, it has been most of my life. Got my first formal introduction to handgun shooting 22 years ago, and I've been shooting competitively for 14 seasons.
Now, Mike, it seems like every day there's a new active shooter event in this country. It's not, but it just seems like that. And it's got the general public spooked. How much of the active shooter event rise attributes the rise in defense classes and in gun sales?
Our classes attendance has been picking up a little bit. Gun sales have been picking up. It did plateau off a little bit, so we're kind of seeing it steady off. So that's kind of nice to see that people aren't terribly spooked with what's going to be happening in the country right now. That style of modern sporting rifle, it did go up a little bit.
The AR-15s?
They did.
Well, that makes sense. I mean, I have one, and I'm sure you have one, too.
Yeah, and, of course. Yeah, a couple of them, actually.
For the benefit of our audience, the media, they'll talk about AR-15s, you know, like they're squad automatic weapons, you know, and they're M60 machine guns or something. Exactly what is an AR-15 to the general public?
An AR-15 is a semi-automatic rifle that you get one shot per press of the trigger, just like the old Remington Model 7400 that my father-in-law gifted down to my boys a couple years ago.
And so how would you compare the AR-15 cartridge with a deer rifle like a .30-06?
Anemic. Yeah, it is vastly underpowered for something that you would use for any kind of sporting purpose like that.
Yeah, I mean, I have an AR-15, but I don't use it to hunt deer. I could at closer ranges, but it just doesn't have the knockdown power.
It doesn't, no. And I do have a couple buddies that use that cartridge for deer. It's a mild recoiling round, so it's not going to punish you as far as when you shoot it into the shoulder. Very comfortable for a lot of different people to shoot. And if you are a hunter and you can't handle anything larger that may be more efficient at taking that game,
yeah,
it is a capable round, provided you get the right cartridge for it.
Yeah, now that's in 223 and 5.56. Most AR-15s are like that, but they also have them in what, 308 and other calibers as well, right?
Yeah, the AR-10 platform, a little bit longer action, would be in the 308 Winchester caliber. But other cartridges that you can put on the AR-15, anything in that short action, the 300 Blackout is amazingly popular right now,
yeah,
because you can get a subsonic cartridge going slower than the speed of sound and put a suppressor on it for a little bit more comfortable shooting without the hearing protection on.
Yeah. Now, the media, when they talk about the AR, they always refer to it as an assault rifle. What does the AR stand for? Does that stand for assault rifle?
It does not. AR stands for Armalite rifle. Armalite is the company that designed it back in the 1950s. So that's how it got the name AR.
Yeah. You know, I wish more people knew about that. When we're in the military, we shoot M16s, you know, or the MP5s or MP4s, they're not like the AR-15 at all.
Not even close.
No, not even close. We're speaking with Mike Visser, concealed carry instructor, all about AR-15s. And Mike, let's talk more about active shooter events now. It seems like they're on the rise now. Crime in general in the last 30 years statistically has gone down, but active shooter events, what's happening?
That's a fantastic question that I wish I had the answer to. I wish there was a way that we could address this and know how to stop these things.
Well, you know what? Okay, so you're not a sociologist, so you don't know the answer to that. You know, it's a complicated question, so I think the answer is going to be complicated too. But I'm guessing you can speak to tactics. If you're in a school, you know, you have children in school, correct?
I do.
So what do you tell your kids about active shooter events? How do you prepare them?
It's a very touchy subject, especially with the age of my children. I've got a 6-year-old and an 8-year-old.
Very tender.
So very tender hearts at these ages. I don't want to freak these kids out. I just tell them that if there's any kind of problem or emergency in the classroom or in the school, listen to your teachers. They're trained. They know what to do if there's a problem or an emergency. I don't get into the huge specifics about, I don't want to scare him to death to go to school. It's hard enough to get him up in the morning. So,
right. What about when they're a little older? When would you start being a little more specific about the dangers?
When they start noticing things in news reports and the media, they start asking questions. Usually it's probably going to be around the 10 or 12 year old.
Yeah.
Would be my guess.
Yeah, I think you're right. You know, that's one of the things that I haven't really had to deal with. The kids that I have at home right now, they're 6, 8, and 12 years old, and we homeschool them. So if you come to the Coryell Academy, well, you can pretty much bank that the teacher is going to be armed.
Absolutely. So, I like that.
Mike.
And I like that idea of you being the teacher and being armed, and also the possibility in the talks right now of maybe arming other well-trained, selected volunteer teachers in the schools to possibly be armed in the future.
Talk about that. What kind of training do you think teachers should have if they're going to be armed?
Way above and beyond what the average Michigan concealed pistol license holder has. It's as you know, being an instructor, it's a fairly basic 8-hour course that the state requires that we go through. And it's basically proving your basic level of proficiency with a firearm and firearm safety out in the general public. If they're going to be armed in a school setting, they need to go way above and beyond that, taking much more advanced level training courses from some of the bigger academies around. Bring instructors into the state. Yeah. These instructors from all around the country, they would be delighted to come to another state out of their home range and give this training to these teachers to protect our kids.
You know, and I bet some of them, you know, because we know some of them personally, I bet they'd even come in here and do it for free and maybe just for, you know, the cost of the plane ticket to get here.
Absolutely. Just pay for lodging and a plane ticket and they'd probably do the courses for free.
Yeah.
But another big part of that is these teachers, they got to be volunteers.
Yeah.
They have to step up to the plate and say, I'm willing to go through this extra level of training and have this huge responsibility.
Yeah, I agree. One of the other things that I do, I teach the Utah Concealed Firearms Permit class for non-residents. And the state of Utah, they have an incredible lack of gun control laws. Any concealed carry holder can carry in any public school in the state of Utah. And I looked up the history of school shootings in Utah, and there's hardly any at all.
I'm seeing some sort of a connection here. I don't know if it's a direct correlation, but there may be a link here.
Well, it would be nice if our politicians could see a correlation there too and maybe make some laws based on a model that actually works instead of one that doesn't work. What about raising the legal age from 18 to 21 for a long gun purchase? Is that going to help?
I don't believe it's going to help because a lot of these firearms are being obtained illegally.
Yeah.
So I don't think the age limit's going to do anything. And I honestly, I don't agree with that age limit restriction, bumping up long guns to the age of 21. You can serve in the military at the age of 18.
Right.
And you're given military-grade firearms at this point, which the civilians are not getting military-grade firearms, Skip. So
yeah,
they're given all this stuff to go out into war to protect our country, and they can't come back here at age 18, 19 when they're on leave and buy a civilian firearm at that age. I can't even buy them a beer and thank them for their service.
That's right. Well, Mike, you've got some good common sense, and as usual, we agree on this. Thank you very much for taking the time to share with us today on Front Lines of Freedom, and thank you for your service in teaching civilians how to protect themselves and their families.
Skip, thank you very much for having me back, and thank you for your service.
All right, I'm Marine Vet Skip Coryell. Next up, it's time for our weekly mailbag. Then it's military history time. You've reported for duty to Front Lines of Freedom. Stand tall, troops. Okay, we've had the officers and the non-coms work out, but now it's time for the E1s, E2s, and E3s to get in shape. Get down on your face now. Show the officers what you're made of. The colonel does 103 push-ups, so let's show him up and do 104. I want you combat ready, then stand at ease.
Spartan Ash is committed to supporting our veterans as they transition out of the service back into the workforce. In fact, we were recently named as a certified veteran-friendly employer, emphasizing our commitment to hire, train, and retain those who served our country.
Learn how your skills and experience can be put to use at Spartan Ash and begin your civilian career with us.
Learn more at spartannash.com/careers.
Sliding around in sock feet is a pretty common activity in a Fisher house. You see, every year, thousands of kids stay here to be close to a wounded mommy or daddy receiving care at a military or VA medical center. It's a place where they can feel at home when they're not, and where kisses and hugs are only minutes away instead of time zones, which, for a kid with a soldier as a parent, is an unfamiliar luxury. To learn more about the Fisher House Foundation and how you can help, go to fisherhouse.org today.
Are you struggling to find the right person to stay in a critical role in your company? Trying to attract and retain millennials? Regional Personnel is your staffing solution. Located in Lebanon, New Jersey, Regional Personnel is an ASA-certified, privately held staffing and recruiting firm providing you with everything from temporary to permanent employees. As ASA-certified professionals, we employ the latest tools and techniques to find, screen, and present to you the best talent that fits your needs. The result? Access to top talent in the shortest time with the lowest chance of turnover. We guarantee it. So call Regional today at 908-534-8113 or visit us on the web at regionalpersonnel.com.
One of the biggest decisions in your lifetime is buying or selling a house. Choosing a realtor with strong client communication, technology, and marketing skills will dramatically improve your chance of success. That's why Hunterdon and Somerset's residents rely on Joe Peters. Joe believes his clients deserve a smooth and seamless experience, not a roller coaster ride. As a Coldwell Banker sales associate with 20 years of experience, he's helped hundreds of people to achieve their goals and dreams, no matter where they were in the buying or selling process. Joe accomplishes this by approaching every transaction from a business perspective. Initially, he tries to fully understand your goals and dreams and make them his own. Then he takes the mass amount of data that's available and distills it down to a few understandable action points. And finally, he controls the entire process through technology and marketing. The end result to you is a smooth, rewarding customer experience. Let Joe show you how to take his professional expertise and put it to work for you. To contact Joe, go to jpeters.com or call 908-238-0118.
You're listening to WHCR-DB, HuntertonChamberRadio.com. Brought to you by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
I'm Marine Vet Skip Coriel. This is the final formation for this week on Frontlines of Freedom. Okay, team, it's mailbag time. We welcome comments from you, our listeners. Do send us your thoughts at denny@frontlinesoffreedom.com or on Facebook. Roland, what's the first comment?
Well, Skip, Walter from New York says, I'm filing a civil rights complaint with the Attorney General here in New York State. Both Dick's and Field & Stream, where I shop, have confirmed they're not going to sell any firearms to anyone under 21 years of age. I have two sons, age 19, who have earned shooting merit badges. And their older brother was assigned to airborne infantry in Samar, Iraq back in February 2007. He turned 19 while on that deployment. Enough with the Bravo Sierra. I enjoy your show on WENY in Elmira, New York.
Walter, I couldn't agree with you more. While I agree that violent crime is a sad thing, I don't believe that gun control laws are the answer. You can pass all the gun control laws you want, but criminals, by definition, are not going to obey them.
In response to the federal court ruling, which could result in the removal of all crosses in Arlington National Cemetery, Eileen wrote, have they lost their minds? How did this country get so out of whack? I thought after 9/11, we got a wake-up call. But we're moving at such a ridiculous direction. Politicians have got to stop seeing themselves as God. There is one God, and we need to reread the Ten Commandments.
Well spoken, Elaine. And while the politicians are at it, they should also read the Establishment Clause of the U.S. Constitution and interpret it the way the Founding Fathers intended. According to the Constitution, the government cannot establish its own religion or make others worship in a way they see fit. Religion is an individual freedom, and the placing of a cross grave marker should be left up to the families of the fallen military hero. Okay, Roland, normally the colonel would tell one of his funny military stories, but he's on vacation, basking in the sunshine on the beach. So you got a nice story for us today, Roland?
Well, you know, Skip, something kind of funny happened to me recently. My son FaceTimed with me. He doesn't live in the same town as I do, so sometimes that's the best way to communicate. And we talked for about 15 minutes, and then we hung up, or so I thought, because about 5 minutes later, all of a sudden, my three-year-old granddaughter popped up on my screen. And I just kind of laughed about that, because when I had a group of people over in Iraq, I had one of our guys who was FaceTiming or Skyping. I think it was more of a Skyping type of call with his wife. Of course, his wife being back in the United States, They had a nice 45-minute conversation. He's sitting at one of these old public computers there on the base in the Baghdad area. They hang up, or so they thought. He goes off and heads off to the gym. About 2 minutes later, a person we called them over their third country nationalists got on the computer and started calling his wife, who, of course, answered the phone. And to make it worse, he started saying things like, you know, maybe you should take off your top, like that. It was not a very pleasant thing. So, of course, she hung up immediately, scared to death now that her husband has been kidnapped in Iraq. So how did I get involved in this story? Well, of course, she calls the Coast Guard Command, where her husband was originally from, who then calls the National Headquarters Command Center, who then calls the Commandant, who then calls the Atlantic Area Commander, who is a two-star admiral, who calls me at home at 10:30 at night, wanting to know what in the world is going on with one of my people in Baghdad. Needless to say, there's some embarrassment there by a lot of people.
Yeah, and I don't know about the Coast Guard, but in the Marines, we would call that a cluster.
Fudgesicle?
Yes, a cluster fudgesicle. Well, I'm glad you straightened that out, Roland. Nice story. Now it's military history time. What's first, Roland?
On 9 March 1945, U.S. warplanes launched a new bombing offensive against Japan, dropping 2,000 tons of incendiary bombs on Tokyo over the course of about 48 hours. Almost 16 square miles in and around the Japanese capital were incinerated, and between 80,000 and 130,000 Japanese civilians were killed in what was called the worst single firestorm in recorded history. Early on March 9th, Air Force crews met in the Mariana Islands for a military briefing. They were planning a low-level bombing attack on Tokyo that would begin later that evening, but this time it had a twist. Their planes would be stripped of all guns except for the tail turret. The decrease in weight would increase the speed of each Super Fortress bomber and would also increase its bomb load capacity by 65%, making each plane able to carry more than 7 tons of bombs. At 5:34 p.m., Super Fortress B-29 bombers took off, reaching their target at 12:15 a.m. on March 10th. 334 bombers flying at a mere 500 feet dropped their loads, creating a giant bonfire, which was fanned by 30-knot winds and spread the flames throughout Tokyo. Masses of panic and terrified Japanese civilians scrambled to escape the inferno, most unsuccessfully. The human carnage was so great that the blood-red mist of stenching and burning flesh that waffled up sickened the bomber pilots, forcing them to grab oxygen masks to keep from vomiting. The raid lasted slightly longer than 3 hours.
On March 11, 1967, U.S. 1st Infantry Division troops engaged in one of the heaviest battles of Operation Junction City. The fierce fighting resulted in 210 reported North Vietnamese casualties. Operation Junction City was an effort to smash the communist stronghold in Tay Nang, in Tay Ninh Province, and surrounding areas along the Cambodian border northwest of Saigon. The purpose of the operation was to drive the Viet Cong and North Vietnamese troops away from populated areas and into the open where superior American firepower could be more effectively used. Junction City was the largest operation of the war to date, involving more than 25,000 troops.
Then on 8 March 1982, the United States government issued a public statement accusing the Soviet Union of using poison gas and chemical weapons in its war against rebel forces in Afghanistan. The accusation is part of the continuing U.S. criticism of the Soviet intervention in Afghanistan. Reports that the Soviets were using poison gas and chemical weapons in Afghanistan only intensified the heightened tensions. The U.S. government's official statement charged that over 3,000 Afghans had been killed by weapons, including irritants, incapacitants, nerve agents, and perhaps mycotoxins, mustard, lewisite, and toxic smoke. Some critics charged that the accusations were a smokescreen behind which the United States could go forward with further development and stockpiling of its own chemical weapons arsenal.
And that's military history for today.
Skip, it's time for our Armed America Report. What do we have?
All of us here at Frontlines of Freedom believe strongly in your right to keep and bear arms for protection of yourself and your family. Listen, folks, evil exists. Someday evil will visit your door. Will you be ready? If you're not, now is the time to start looking into it and learning the skills necessary to protect the ones you love. What's the story this week, Roland?
Well, Skip, when Kevin Cooksey visited the one-stop convenience store for some ibuprofen for his wife, he had no idea that someone's going to try to steal his car, and that's why he left it running. To make it even worse, his 9-year-old son Larry was sitting inside it while he went into the store. That's when a stranger opened the door to his truck and proceeded to steal it, but the carjacker was met with a most unforeseen greeting, a 9-year-old boy with a pistol. The boy was quoted as saying, quote, As soon as he opened the door, I got scared, so I pulled out the pellet gun and pointed it to his head. That scared the man enough to get him out of the truck, but then he ran into the next car down and stole that one instead. The boy was unhurt.
Roland, there is so much I could say about this. Things like, never leave your child unattended in a parked car in public, especially if it's running. I realize that happens a lot, and most of the time it's uneventful, but it only takes one criminal to ruin a family's life. And then I question the wisdom of letting the boy handle the pistol unsupervised. I know when we were kids, we did it all the time, but that was 50 years ago, out in the country, and these are different times. These days, a small boy with a pistol, even a pellet gun, is capable of blinding himself or causing serious bodily injury or death. There are just way too many things that could go wrong. First off, you need to know the laws in your jurisdiction. How does your state define pistol? In some states, leaving your kid in the car with a pellet pistol can lead to felony charges or perhaps child endangerment. Our culture is not as forgiving and friendly towards firearms as it used to be. There's a real stigma about it now that pervades society. And then there's a chance the pellet gun will be misidentified as a larger pistol by a nearby police officer or a bystander. That could lead to more legal problems or even the death of your child. Bottom line, Roland, is be careful how you treat your children. Don't give them access to firearms unless they have proper adult supervision.
You know, Skip, I couldn't agree with you more. First of all, leaving a kid in a car running, but it's kind of scary if you think about it. So glad things turned out the right way for these people.
Absolutely. Okay, folks, our book giveaway this week is Civilian Combat, the Concealed Carry Book, written by none other than yours truly, Skip Coriel. To get in on the drawing, email us at denny@frontlinesoffreedom.com and put Civilian Combat in the subject line. Next week on Frontlines of Freedom, we'll be speaking with retired military lawyer Bo Balgagno on how our soldiers should be legally allowed to fight. Also, we'll speak with Captain James McCormick from the North Carolina Veterans for Energy, and we'll discuss the impact of energy on national security. Then we'll talk about transgenders in the military with Elaine Donnelly from the Center for Military Readiness.
Thank you, friends, for joining us on Frontlines of Freedom today and every week on this great station. Please check us out on Facebook and add your comments. And if you miss any part of the special show that Skip had this week, well, guess what? You're in luck. All our shows are available on demand at frontlinesoffreedom.com. We especially thank our military listeners for serving our country with honor and dignity and for keeping us safe. God bless you and your families as you serve.
I'm Marine Vet Skip Coriel. Thank you, listeners all across America, for joining us in the foxholes on Frontlines of Freedom. Join us next week for military and veteran information you won't get anywhere else on the Frontlines of Freedom. Dismissed.
This is Colonel Denny Gillum. I want to share about an incredible program available for our veterans across America who are suffering from PTS and traumatic brain injury. It's called After the Impact, and it serves our veterans and NFL football players. You know, it all started at the Eisenhower Center in Ann Arbor, Michigan, and is now expanded to a new facility in Jacksonville, Florida. After the Impact provides real treatment and healing in a transitional residential setting. See more about their facilities for veterans and players at EisenhowerCenter.com.
Does your dog itch, scratch, stink, or shed like crazy? Come to Dynavite for help.
Order a 90-day supply of Dynavite.
Everything we tried failed except the Dynavite.
Pick up two bottles of Super Mega Fish Oil.
Get the third bottle free, packed with omega-3, DHA, and EPA fatty acids.
Super Mega is great for your dog's immune system, healthy skin, and soft, shiny fur.
Dogs love it. Try Super Omega Fish Oil.
Buy two, get one free.
At Dynavite.com.
DINOVITE.com.
You're listening to WHCR-DB, Hunterdon Chamber Radio.com, brought to you by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
The news is sponsored by the Hunterdon Medical Center. Hunterdon Medical Center was started by families for families. Inside our circle of care, we offer coordinated care for your entire family, led by our outstanding family medicine physicians and specialists. Hunterdon Healthcare, your full circle of care. If you need a physician, call Hunterdon Medical Center's Physician Referral Service at 1-800-511-4HMC or visit us on the web at www.hunterdonhealthcare.org.
are able to take back the freedom to make their own decisions about their health care. Stop letting others tell you what to do. Call us at 855-58-LIBERTY for more information or check us out online at libertyhealthshare.org. That's libertyhealthshare.org.
Cancer researchers are noting a racial disparity in many studies of cancer.
Researchers say more than 55,000 people took part in cancer trials from 1996 through last year. In trials conducted since 2003, more than 80% of the trial subjects were white. Researchers say minority participation has declined compared to earlier trials. The study also found that people 65 and older made up barely more than a third of the trial subjects. The study is being presented this week at the American Association for Cancer Research Conference in Atlanta.
The widow of Pat